podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
What a great truth for us to know this morning, that our God is alive within us. And so let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 4, our scripture reading for today. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 15. That's on page 864 of your pew Bible. 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. And those are some of the greatest words in all of Scripture. In this world, we are like Jesus. And I had to look at that in a few different translations to figure out what on earth is being said here. The New American Standard Version says, because as he is, so also are we in this world. The New Living Translation says, because we live like Jesus here in this world. And the Message says, our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. And so in some way, we are like Jesus in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Now, how is that possible? Because I can think of a million different ways that I am not at all like Jesus. I don't have any problems with that. I fail every day in trying to live like Jesus. My life is dominated by selfishness and frustration and letting opportunities to do good just pass by without doing a thing. And I fall far short of the standard that Christ has set for me. And he is like the MVP of the major leagues of godliness, right? And I haven't even taken a swing in Little League yet. That's the gap. How is it possible that as he is, so am I in this world? You see, it's not about our personal condition. It really is all about our Jesus connection. It's about our connectedness to Jesus. Let me show you a few verses. Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 3, says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death, like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. You see the connectedness we have to Christ. We are buried with him, and we are raised again to live a new life with him. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, it is Jesus who is living in me, that connectedness with Jesus. And then Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 to 4. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. There's a sense in which we are even alive in Christ while he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, hidden in Christ. What great truths these are, that we have this connectedness to our Lord Jesus Christ. So as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are connected to him. There's a Jesus connection. Your life is tied into his life. He lives in you and through you. You belong to him. So when God looks at you and your record of disobedience, rather than seeing that disobedience, he sees Jesus, his son, and the perfection of Jesus. And we live in this world as Jesus did. A.W. Tozer put it this way. He says, to accept Christ is to know the meaning of the words, as he is, so are we in this world. We accept his friends as our friends, his enemies as our enemies, his ways as our ways, his rejection as our rejection, his cross as our cross, his life as our life, and his future as our future. If this is what we mean when we advise the seeker to accept Christ, we had better explain it to him. He may get into deep spiritual trouble unless we do. So when we tell someone that they need to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're telling them that they need to be connected to him by faith in such a way that everything that is true of the Lord Jesus Christ is true of us as his followers. So there are three elements of this truth that I want to bring to your mind here on this first Sunday of 2016. You see, this is an important year. Now, first of all, it's a presidential election year. We all know that. But even more important than who will be our president-elect a year from now at this time is even greater consideration I want you to think about. And that is, will Christ live through you this year? That's much more important than who's going to be the leader of the free world. Will you allow the King of Kings to live through you? Will you surrender yourself to him in such a way that as he is, so are you in this world? So the first element of this truth I want to bring to your mind has to do with purity. That we wear his purity as our very own. You need to wear the purity of Jesus as your very own. So we are all sinners. Scripture teaches us that from the moment we draw our very first breath, you know, when the doctor holds us upside down and spanks us on the bottom, from that moment we take our first breath, we are sinners. You know, we look at babies and say, oh, they're so innocent, right? But the truth of the matter is that we're born with this sin problem, and then it confirms itself as we continue to live this life. Our sin holds us back from being the people that God would have us to be. It separates us from God, and that's why God sent his son Jesus to solve the problem of sin, so that we, by believing in him, might have salvation from our sin. But you know that even your good works, even the things that you do that you are proud of, are tainted by sin. But in Christ, we are told, you are as white as snow. In Christ, your sin is separated from you as far as the east is from the west. In Christ, your sin is submerged in the depths of the sea of forgetfulness, that it's not remembered anymore. But even greater than the fact of that forgiveness is the truth of imputation. Now, I'm using a theological word here, so hang on to your seats. Imputation. And what that means is that your sins are taken away, but in addition to that, then the righteousness of Christ is applied to you. You get that? Not only are you forgiven of your sins and your sins are removed from you, but actually the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his purity, his perfect, spotless, unblemished record is applied to you. It's imputed to you. So we use that word imputation because at birth, Adam's sin is imputed to us. On the cross, our sin was imputed to Christ. And now when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. And so as he is righteous and pure, so are we in this world righteous and pure. Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 8, Paul says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider all of these advantages in life, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Now pay attention. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. It's not a purity that I earn by living a good life. It's a purity that has been imputed to me, given to me as a free gift, And now when God looks upon me, he sees the righteousness of Christ. It comes from God on the basis of faith. So whether you feel that way at the beginning of this year or not, you are robed in the purity of Jesus Christ. And we need to wear that purity in our lives. Each day, we need to wake up in the morning and say, I embrace the truth that I am righteous as Christ is righteous, that I am pure in the eyes of God. And then we need to put it into practice what is true in our position. So when temptation comes knocking and when evil comes to your door, you say, back off, Satan. I will not bring the purity of Christ there. I will not go there because I cannot bring the purity and the righteousness of Christ there. And we sing the song, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. And that's only possible because of the Jesus connection. We need to wear his purity as our very own. A second element of the truth of your Jesus connection is this, that Christ is victorious, so you should be victorious also. Right? We need to claim his victory as our very own. You need to claim the victory that Christ has won as your victory. See, Jesus took on the devil on the devil's home court, and he thoroughly whooped him. Now, there is no parallel here to any blue devils. No implication there. No implication. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to the devil's home court here in this world and thoroughly whooped him and set him straight. And from Genesis to Revelation, Satan is trying to thwart God's plan in this world and in your life. That's what Satan is trying to do. But Jesus came to defeat the devil for good. He stood face to face with Satan in temptation, and he beat him. And then ultimately he went to the cross, where the nails were driven into Jesus' feet and hands, but the actual nail was being driven into Satan as the Lord Jesus Christ conquered sin and conquered death once and for all through his death and resurrection. So as he is, so are you in this world. You are a victor in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 says, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. How do we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the victory. Can you say, I am a victor? Say that.
I am a victor.
You are a victor in Christ. Not only that, Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Say, I am a conqueror.
I am a conqueror.
And then finally, in 1 John chapter 5, starting the verse 4, it says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Say, I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
So those things are true of you. You are a victor. You are a conqueror. You are an overcomer through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, Satan, I read the end of the book, and we win. We win. And so no matter what you face in this world, in this year of 2016, there will be struggles, there will be temptations, there will be trials, there will be challenges. You've already won. You've already won. You are a victor. You are a conqueror. You are an overcomer. You just need to prove it by living it out, by living that victory out that you already have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one more element of this Jesus connection is we need to live his purpose as our very own. We need to take on the purpose of Jesus Christ and live it out as our very own. So what is the purpose of Jesus? Look at John chapter 12. Jesus said, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Do you notice that in the darkest hour that Jesus faced prior to going to the cross, right? In the sadness, the trial, the challenge of that day, he said, Father, glorify your name. Oh, that we could learn from that, right? That when we face our difficulties to say, God, this is a chance for you to shine. Oh, Lord, glorify your name through me. Whatever takes place in this coming year. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So the purpose of Jesus is passed down to us. If his purpose is to bring glory to God the Father, he passes that purpose on to us and says, through your good works, you need to glorify your Father in heaven. 1 Peter 2:12, live such good lives among the unbelievers, the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds. And then what happens? They glorify God on the day he visits us. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. It is upon us to live as Jesus did in this world, to seek to bring God glory to the Father alone. And too many people live their lives in this world for their own glory. They're like black holes, you know? Any resource, any advantage, anything that comes into their life is sucked into the black hole of their life. They are consumers. They are takers. And they take everything that surrounds them and they consume it for themselves and for their own glory. It was not that way with Jesus. Not at all. Every resource was used to the glory of God the Father. Every moment, every conversation, every drop of blood, every word, every action, it all glorified God. That was his purpose for being. It was his reason. And his life was a gushing spring flowing out to the glory of the Father and to the benefit of everyone around him in his life. Now, if we are to be connected to Jesus in such a way that as he is, so are we in this world, then we are to take on his purpose. Then we're not going to be sinkholes, but rather gushing springs. You know, we're not going to be glory suckers, but glory gushers. Don't be a sucker, be a gusher, you see? Take the resources that God has given you, all of the advantages, everything that he gives you, the money, the gifts, the talents, the love, everything, even the trials and the difficulties. Take everything that God brings into your world and use it to gush forth in glory to God the Father. Not to suck it in and use it for your own pride and your own glory and your own ego, but to give it back to those around you and to God, to glorify him and him alone. To ask the question, how can I use everything that God has given me to glorify him? How can I stop looking for glory for myself and give it to him? Oh God, that you might be glorified through us. That's the Jesus connection. As he is, so are we in this world. We need to have Christ's purity and we need to wear it as our very own every day. Christ's victory, we need to claim it because we've already won. And Christ's purpose to glorify God that we might live it as our very own purpose. And I guarantee, you live this way, and 2016 may not be the easiest year of your life. I can't promise that. But it will be the most fulfilling, satisfying, and God-honoring year of your life. If you just live connected to Jesus, if you just live out the connection that he has already established when you put your faith in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder of this connection that we have with your Son, Jesus Christ. Even as we saw Lauren and Brennan go under the water today, we are reminded, Lord, that we are buried with you, we are raised again, we are new people. But Father, I pray that we would experience that on a day-to-day basis, Father, that we would experience your purity, your victory, and that we would live out your purpose in our lives. That truly we would be able to say that as you are in this world, so are we. Oh, Heavenly Father, now as we prepare to come to the table, Lord, we want to start this year with a clean slate. We want to be reminded of the blood that flowed, of the body that was broken, of the forgiveness that we have, but not just the forgiveness, but the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us. And so, Father, we prepare our hearts to come to this table this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.